Why are we spending 2 weeks on vision? What is vision anyway? And why should we care about it? And for those who've heard the lingo of vision before, what is the difference between vision and mission or strategy or values or other terms that cluster together in these kinds of conversations? Well, I imagine the conversation will get boring very quickly if we labour these distinctions. But if we think of vision as where we'd like to head as a congregation and strategy as how we intend to get there, that'll do for our purposes over the next 2 weeks. The language isn't as important as the concept. In your own life, if you're responsible, you won't simply let life happen to you. You'll make plans for the future regarding education, employment, your finances, ministry, relationships, and other things. And as a congregation, if we're responsible, we won't simply let church happen to us. We'll also make plans for the future. What do we want to look like in the future? What do we want to be known for? How should we aim to get there? Asking these questions and writing something down is about clarity. It's not a replacement for trusting God and being open to His leading. It's about understanding and communicating what our mission is, how we should go about it, and by God's grace, the fruit we'd like to see coming out of it. The whole of St. Alfred's has recently been through a strategic planning process, and what I'm sharing with you tonight isn't in competition with that process. I'll be talking about the regular life of Sundays at 6 p.m. Now, the theme for tonight is Sundays at 6 Vision, Our Story. But our story actually doesn't start with us. It starts with God and His plan for His glory. In the passage just read, we hear that God has a plan for the entire universe. Have a look at verses 8 to 10. With all wisdom and understanding, He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. So God's plan, God's vision for the entire creation, is to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth in a new creation that will stand for eternity under the reign of His Son, Jesus Christ. And living in that new creation will be God's people, from every nation, tribe, and tongue, who in particular are to the praise of His glory. This new humanity is God's masterpiece that exhibits His goodness and His glory to the whole universe, bringing praise to Him. Well, what exactly is this praise? Well, Paul shows us throughout this chapter. In verse 3 he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." What are these blessings? Paul outlines a few of them. God chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight, in verse 4. We can know our lives are not an accident. Through faith in Jesus, we know that we were in fact chosen by God in eternity past to belong to Him and to be perfect in His sight. Another blessing is mentioned in verse 5. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. Not only were we chosen to become God's perfect possession, we were chosen to have a special relationship with Him through Jesus. We've been welcomed into God's family. In verse 7, it says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Though each one of us has turned our back on God, in love, He sent Jesus to bring forgiveness through His death on the cross." In verse 8, "With all wisdom and understanding, He made known to us the mystery of His will, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ." God hasn't just done all these things. As a father with His children, He has told us His plan. In verse 11, "In Him, we," that's Jews, "were also chosen. God's fulfilled His promise to Abraham. And you, Gentiles, also were included in Christ. That's verse 13. The good news is for all people. And finally, in verses 13 and 14, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. God dwells in his people so that these things are not only true, they are real to us as we wait for God to complete his plan and usher in the new creation. All of this, all of these things are to the praise of God's glorious grace, now and into eternity. And then Paul prays for the Ephesians that by the working of God's Spirit within them, they would continue to grow in their knowledge of God, the wonderful future God has given them, the glory of his people, and his power which is now at work within them to accomplish all of this. So let's summarize. What is God's story? It's this. From before he created the world, God chose a people to be his own, to be redeemed from sin and death into a perfect relationship to him, to be restored into perfect relationship with each other, and to dwell with God in a renewed world for eternity under the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the big vision. This is true for us, as it's true for all Christians in all places at all times. That's God's story, of which we are a part. Zooming in then to St. Alfred's Evening Congregation, what is our local story? Sundays at 6 began late in the year 2000 with 20 people in the lounge room of the church vicarage. An existing evening service had been brought to an end, and in the process, Peter, our senior minister, began planning for a new evening service which has become Sundays at 6 p.m. The congregation started meeting weekly in February 2001 with 40 people. The idea was to give it a go for 1 year and see what happened. When Peter came back from England to become the senior minister of St. Alfred's, he noticed that there was a need for ministry to the 18 to 35 age bracket. Many churches were struggling to engage young adults, and he didn't want St. Alfred's to fail this age group. The congregation grew in numbers, particularly when the church was able to put staff on. Two former staff members who've looked after Sundays at 6 are Andrew Harper and Weihan Kwan. Peter himself has been the evening congregation minister at various times. Another factor in this congregation's growth has been the connections with broader Christian networks, Scripture Union, the Church Missionary Society with its annual camps and conferences, and AFES, Christian Union, particularly those at Deakin and Monash. St. Alfred's has had strong children's and youth ministries for many years, under the leadership of youth ministers such as Kieran Carr, Sam Oldland, and now Chris Dury. A continual flow of teenagers have graduated into the St. Alfred's young adult community and gone on to strengthen ties in the broader networks. Well, that's a bit of the history. So where are we now? With an average weekly attendance of around 150, the bread and butter ministry of the evening congregation continues to be running a weekly Sunday service and preaching through the Bible, caring for people in growth groups and one-to-one pastoral ministry, and giving leadership responsibility to young adults. In recent years, we've been blessed to commission several people for long-term missionary work, as well as support young adults in short-term trips. There's an increasing number of people engaging in or seriously considering theological study, and there's been considerable energy going into local mission through the Burnt Street team and the Box Hill Skate Park. Our congregation's not only comprised of young adults. We have teenagers and family units coming to the evening service, and like any Christian congregation, we seek to completely welcome and integrate all who come. People who come to our membership gatherings will often share that they came to know people from St. Elf's through the kinds of broader Christian networks I mentioned earlier. It's common for people to remark on our Bible teaching, welcoming atmosphere, energy in corporate worship, and opportunities for service as they share their journey of deciding to become a part of this congregation. Well, if that's a snapshot of where we've come from and where we are, Where does God want us to go? First, we can be sure that God wants us to continue to grow into his big vision in Ephesians 1. To grow in our relationship with God who has chosen and redeemed us, to deepen our relationships with each other, and to witness to the world the coming kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Second, as a congregation of St. Alfred's, we should continue to exemplify the values of St. Alfred's. We are part of a parish. We're not our own parish, and one of the strengths of this church is that though congregations diverge, they don't operate as completely independent silos. We should seek to foster a whole church and intergenerational culture. Third, we ought to observe our congregation in action to see where God is prompting and gifting people to serve. Where does the energy want to go? If these things are good and right, we ought to champion them and seek to grow them. I want to mention five areas where I have observed desire and initiative for change from people at Sundays at 6. First of all, outward focus. There is a lot of desire in this congregation for us to become more effective in bringing others to know Christ. Several years ago, for example, many small groups ran Christianity Explored and invited their friends. The Burnt Street team and Box Hill Skate Park team seek to be actively involved in the work of evangelism. How can an evangelistic culture shape every aspect of our congregational life? Second, local mission. There's a desire here and throughout St. Elf's to better engage our local community and in word and deed. We don't only want to be a church of many postcodes, we want to be a local church impacting our local area. Not at the expense of God's global agenda, but in recognition that the local church with its local community is ground zero of world reconciliation. This local mission theme came out strongly in the church-wide consultation last year and is finding expression in the Connect initiative. Third, deeper community. There's a desire for greater authenticity in Christian relationships, a desire to spend more time with each other, a desire to get beyond the small talk and the superficiality and relate to each other in ways that have eternal value. The Sundays at 6 Women's Ministry is an expression of this, and so is the Mentoring Ministry. Fourth, deeper devotion. There is a desire to deepen our devotion to God in prayer, to really seek him with our whole hearts until we find him, as Jeremiah put it. This has found expression in recent prayer initiatives. And fifth and finally, an integrated ministry. I think in an overarching sense, there is a desire for what we could call an integrated ministry. I hope no one will be offended, but one of the prayer points in my diary over the last couple of years has been for wisdom to deal with the clamoring voices. Not the voices in my head, at least not at this stage, but the voices of members around St. Alfred's who are passionate about various aspects of the Christian life. One person will tell me we need to do more about evangelism. Another will tell me we need to improve our preaching. Another will point to the gifts of the Spirit. Another to sending people to Bible college and to the mission field. Another to workplace ministry, and so on and so forth. The point is, all of these things are valid and important. All of them need to be addressed. And what this shows is the need for an integrated ministry that rightly relates them all, at a scale or size that we can manage as a congregation and church. I think Sundays at 6 tries to do this, but we should continue to grow in our capacity to present a balanced Christian life, both for the sake of nurture and witness. So here are five areas where I think I have observed an advanced screening in the congregation of ways God might be leading us: outward focus, local mission, deeper community, deeper devotion, and an integrated ministry. So how might we put Ephesians 1, the values of St. Alfred's, and these advanced screenings into words? Well, if you have a look up on the screen, you'll see a vision statement, and it reads as follows. As a congregation of St. Alfred's, the vision of Sundays at 6 p.m. is to see many in the city of Whitehorse and beyond become mature followers of Jesus Christ through a movement of the gospel that connects people to God, each other, and the world. Let's go through this. As a congregation of St. Alfred's, and we have the recognition here from the start that Sundays at 6 p.m. is not off on its own, but it's part of the parish church. City of Whitehorse and beyond, this expresses our desire for outward focus and local mission. Why the city of Whitehorse? Well, practically speaking, though the members of St. Alf's are far-flung, we are still heavily represented in this municipality. So local geography still means something in terms of presence. Why not limit it to Blackburn? Well, if you were to draw a circle on a map showing where St. Alf's already has a presence in the local community, it would at least be Whitehorse. This statement prioritises the local community as our mission field, in the sense that, as I said earlier, the local church is ground zero of world reconciliation. That means that we don't jump over our local community to do mission elsewhere. We start at the end of our row of seats, our home, our street, our suburb, our municipality, and into our universities, workplaces, and to the ends of the earth. The next part of the statement, mature followers of Jesus Christ. The mission of St. Alfred's has long been to help people become mature followers of Jesus Christ. This expresses the Great Commission of Matthew 28. It expresses the lordship of Christ over us and the world. It expresses the desire of our congregation to go deeper in community and devotion as we grow in all aspects of discipleship. Movement of the gospel. On the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter stood up, preached the gospel, and 3,000 people were saved. Later, when the church was persecuted, these thousands of believers were scattered over the known world and spread the gospel wherever they went. The gospel is not bound by a central bureaucracy, and if we want to make an impact on our world for Jesus, we can't afford to act as though it is. This phrase signals the end of a centrally controlled, programmatic approach to service and mission. There will be oversight, but with an aim to helping people find their sphere of service, rather than shoehorning everyone into a one-size-fits-all agenda. This implies ongoing leadership development and training, which then releases people to serve in the church and take the gospel out into the world according to their gifts and calling. And finally, the last words, connects people to God, each other, and the world. We have the results of a gospel movement here, to reconcile people to God and draw them into communion with Him, to bring them into rich community with His people, and to connect with the world through witness in word, spirit, and deed, the coming kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. This phrase, when unpacked, represents an integrated approach to ministry that encapsulates everything from corporate worship to missions and evangelism to workplace values to social justice. So in conclusion, God's story is the story of His choosing a people to be His own, to be redeemed from sin and death by His Son and brought into a perfect relationship with Him, to be restored into perfect relationship with each other, and to dwell with God in a renewed world for eternity under the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the big vision. This is true for us, as it is true for all Christians in all places at all times. Our story is of a congregation that started with 20 people in Peter's lounge room, and which now longs to grow deeper in maturity and do great things for the kingdom locally and to the ends of the earth. Our vision is to see many in the city of Whitehorse and beyond become mature followers of Jesus Christ through a movement of the gospel that connects people to God, each other, and the world. Let me close in prayer using that wonderful, majestic prayer of Paul that we heard earlier. And I'm going to pray this for us now. Father, I thank You for this congregation of Your people, for their faith in You, for their love for one another, and for their witness to the world. I ask that You, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know You better. I pray that the eyes of our heart may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which You have called us, the riches of Your glorious inheritance in Your holy people, and Your incomparably great power for us who believe. And I ask this in Jesus' name, in whom we were chosen before the world began, that we might be to the praise of Your glorious grace. Amen.